Someone commented under yesterday's show that the middle class will never side with the poor when it comes to seeking economic justice. Neither comfy Democrats nor comfy Republicans give a flying fuck about the poor. So if that's true, the only way we could move them is the same way we could move the plutocrats. We have to push them around. And that's been the whole point of this show since it started, is to push around the comfy people and make them do our bidding. And if they don't do our bidding, we have to call them on their bullshit. We have to make it painfully obvious to them that they're classist assholes. And because they read the New York Times and the Washington Post, they're also paranoid about things that they're told to be paranoid about. As we saw in the Democratic presidential nomination process, they're pretty easy to move around. You can herd them like cattle. So the purpose of true leftists then, especially pundits, becomes to get them to move in a different direction than the mainstream media want them to move. And that's where people like Caitlin Johnstone come in. She skewers the comfy people better than anyone else I've found. Well, Kathy Copeland Patton is right up there too. Kathy actually skewers them, and Caitlin kind of has a combination of skewering and reasoning with them. One solid point of contention I have with the comfy people on my Facebook feed is when they call me a Russian agent. The whole Russiagate conspiracy theory, which has been thoroughly debunked, keeps getting tossed around. And so I thought, well, let's keep trying to open their eyes to see that Russiagate is a hoax. Hear that, people? Russiagate is a hoax. And if they call you a Russian agent, please share Caitlin Johnstone with them. And if you're really tired of them, share me with them, and I'll call them out. This whole Russiagate thing has become more than ridiculous. So we need to get right to the source. We need to talk to Jeff Bezos and the other oligarchs directly and say, we're done with this bullshit. So I'll turn it over to Caitlin. WAPO publishes paranoid screed, cautioning readers not to let Russia make them paranoid. Russia and other adversaries may not need to hack the election if they can hack something else. Our minds. Oh God, WAPO. What I want to know is why we'd rather let Russia hack our minds than the Washington Post hack our minds. Because I figured you all knew that, I forgot to mention that Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. So begins a crazy, paranoid Washington Post editorial titled, "The U.S. may be safe from foreign interference in this election, but what about perception hacking?" Cautioning readers not to let Russia make them crazy and paranoid. No, Bezos, that's your job! Perception hacking. Apparently, this term is the latest fad for the elite liberal commentariat in the category of noises one can make with one's face in order to sound well-informed about Russian influence operations. From the same line as kompromat, desinformatsia, and useful idiot. Lefty on the news. Oy vey, perception hacking. Manipulating people into thinking they are being manipulated. No, WAPO, that's not Russia who's doing that. It's you and the New York Times and the intel agencies and the Democrats and every part of the establishment except the Trumpers. I don't know, maybe the Trumpers are doing it too. Before we begin, I must clarify that this maniacal screed was not authored by some random unmedicated lunatic to whom WAPO mistakenly granted a spot in its opinion section due to a NyQuil-induced filing error. It was authored by the actual editorial board of the Washington Post. Democracy dies in darkness. Trademark. They sat down, they consciously wrote it out, probably rewrote it a few times, and then knowingly published it as a representation of the esteemed outlet's official position, completely on purpose. WAPO starts off by saying America is safe from Russian influence operations, which would be news to the US politicians who've been breathlessly shrieking the exact opposite. It then goes on to say that what Russia is now doing is tricking Americans into thinking they're not safe from Russian influence operations. Don't think about it too hard. You'll hurt yourself. The technique of choice heading into the election is something experts have come to call perception hacking, which essentially means manipulating people into thinking they are being manipulated, WaPo explains, as though it has not played a central role along with the rest of the mainstream media in promoting the idea that we are surrounded by Russian agents working to deceive and misinform Americans at every opportunity. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union discovered the effectiveness of laundering its narratives through unwitting sources in target nations to lend them more legitimacy, the Post tells us. Today's Russia exploits the same tactic, dangling fantastical scoops in front of low-profile journalists to bait them into writing conspiratorial false stories in the hope that reputable publications will eventually mention them even as rumor. Excuse me? Only low-profile journalists have been writing conspiratorial false stories about Russia? You mean low-profile like MSNBC's top pundit Rachel Maddow, whose deranged conspiratorial false stories have included, but are in no way limited to, fear-mongering about Putin cutting off U.S. energy during the winter in order to freeze Americans to death, speculating alongside her fellow MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell that Putin may have orchestrated a 2017 chemical attack in Syria in order to allow Trump to retaliate with a missile strike that will make him look good, and circulating stories about Russian election interference that were already publicly known to be false? Or low profile like New York Magazine's Jonathan Chait and MSNBC's Chris Hayes, laying out the ridiculous case that Trump has been a Russian asset since 1987? Or low-profile like CNN analyst and Harvard professor Juliette Kayyem, who has on no basis whatsoever been promoting the narrative that Russia has infiltrated the Walter Reed Hospital, where Trump is staying for COVID-19 treatment to such an extensive degree that Russian intelligence agencies know more about the president's condition than the public? Circulating false conspiratorial stories about Russian influence in the United States is not the purview of low-profile journalists who've been influenced by Russia. It's the purview of some of the most influential voices in the Western world who do it of their own volition. False conspiracy theories about Russia have been an extremely common mainstay within literally all mainstream media outlets in America, especially those which take an oppositional posture toward Trump, ever since it became publicly acceptable to allege without evidence that Vladimir Putin has taken control of the highest levels of the U.S. government. For WaPo to suddenly try to pretend it's some sort of fringe anomaly which only occasionally infiltrates high-profile news media as a result of Russian influence operations is brazenly deceitful. After all, the Washington Post itself has been one of the more egregious offenders on this front, not because of Russian influence, but because of its blind pursuit of clicks. In December 2016, WaPo published a story claiming the Russian government had penetrated the U.S. electricity grid, which, if they'd done their due diligence instead of hastily publishing, they would have discovered was completely false and did not happen. In November 2016, WaPo published an insanely paranoid exclusive of just the sort its editorial board is warning us about today, claiming, based on amazingly ridiculous sourcing, that alternative media outlets that are critical of U.S. foreign policy are routine peddlers of Russian propaganda. The fact that this same outlet is now placing itself above the dynamic of media-induced Russia paranoia instead of a key facilitator of it is jaw-dropping in its dishonesty. Especially clever is painting tales of supposedly far-reaching influence operations that either don't actually exist or are having little impact, today's editorial continues. You mean like the ones you yourselves plant in one of the most influential publications in the Western world, WaPo? In fact, tales of supposedly far-reaching influence operations that either don't actually exist or are having little impact would be a perfect description of all mainstream media reporting on the influence of St. Petersburg's Internet Research Agency in the 2016 election, which, as Aaron Maté explained for The Nation in 2018, was in fact small, amateurish, and mostly unrelated to the 2016 election. A search of WAPO's website brings up hundreds of references to this supposedly far-reaching influence operation that in reality had little or no impact. The declaration on the day of the 2018 midterm elections by a group claiming to be the Russian troll farm, the Internet Research Agency, that we are choosing for you might have seemed ridiculous a decade ago, and it is still ridiculous today, WAPO continues, without a trace of irony in their advancement of unproven claims by unknown people involving Russia. The salvos don't have to succeed. They only have to scare us into thinking that there is a Kremlin agent messing with every machine and a troll writing every Facebook post, WAPO warns, while also accidentally describing the paranoid and Russophobic environment that WAPO and other mainstream news outlets have spent 4 years actively creating. Leaders and everyday voters alike now confront the challenge of preparing without panicking, of being alert without being paranoid, concludes WAPO's editorial board, which is plainly both highly paranoid and highly lacking in anything that could be described as alertness. Alan McLeod. Okay, so this thing we've been talking about for years isn't true, but what if it were? Hard-hitting journalism from the Washington Post editorial board. Despite the bizarre schizoid ramblings of the Washington Post editorial board, there is no amount of perception hacking Russia could inflict upon the American mind that could possibly rise to the tiniest fraction of that which has been inflicted by media outlets owned by American billionaires. People are paranoid about Russian influence operations because the American plutocratic media have made them that way and have reaped massive ratings rewards for doing so. As is so very, very often the case, the American accusation being leveled against Russia is something the accuser itself does to a far, far greater degree than the accused. These are the kind of people who are shaping public thought in the nation with the world's most powerful government. Destructive, dishonest, stupid, hypocritical, irresponsible, xenophobic, McCarthyite, willfully amnesiac, gaslighting manipulators who are employed by the world's wealthiest plutocrat. No wonder everything's so messed up. And also by Caitlin Johnstone, all Russiagate did was advance pre-existing agendas of the same spy agencies who started it. One of the many interesting stories that has gotten lost in the shuffle over the controversy over the horrible Trump-Biden debate and the president's recent COVID-19 diagnosis is the recent allegation by the Federalist's Sean Davis that CIA Director Gina Haspel has been personally blocking the declassification of incriminating documents pertaining to the origins of the Trump-Russia collusion conspiracy theory known as Russiagate. Davis's claim may be true or false, but it's worth earmarking for later reference given that we already know that longtime CIA insider Haspel has been actively persuading the US president to roll out Cold War escalations against Russia, and given that we know the only real changes of consequence that have come about as a result of Russiagate are changes which advance the long-standing agendas of the same intelligence agencies who started it. Ding, ding, ding. The mainstream Democratic partisan narrative has been that investigations into possible collusion between the Trump camp and Moscow were designed to ascertain whether the U.S. government had been co-opted at its highest levels by a hostile foreign power, with countless human clickbait pundits claiming earlier in Trump's term that these investigations would result in Trump being dragged out of the White House in chains. The mainstream Republican partisan narrative has been that the president was the target of a soft coup attempt by the deep state using false allegations of Russian collusion in an attempt to remove him from office for standing up to the deep state. Like most partisan narratives, these are both false. It is correct that the conspiratorial allegations of Vladimir Putin secretly controlling the executive branch of the US government were bogus. It is also correct that Russiagate was a psyop advanced by forces in the U.S. intelligence cartel, who are sometimes collectively referred to as a part of the deep state, though that term has become largely meaningless in recent years due to Trumpists twisting its meaning into Democrats and anyone who doesn't like Trump. But both Republicans and Democrats are mistaken in believing that Russiagate had anything to do with removing Trump from office. Russiagate was never a deep state operation targeting Trump. Russiagate has always been a deep state operation targeting Russia. You may be sure this is true because while Russiagate has not had any significant negative effect on Trump, it has greased the wheels for the escalation of many new Cold War aggressions against Russia. Anyone who was informed and unbiased knew that the Mueller investigation would never touch Trump. Even as a newbie at the time, I correctly called it back in 2017, and anyone who was capable of counting Senate seats knew impeachment would result in acquittal. As far as Trump's presidential career is concerned, all Russiagate ever accomplished was galvanizing his Republican base around the completely false notion that he is fighting the establishment. But what has Russiagate accomplished in relation to Russia? The political pressure it placed on Trump to act tough on Moscow and the Democratic Party's baseless insistence that this administration is controlled by Putin have ensured that there is nothing but acceleration for a world-threatening new Cold War, which has seen nuclear treaties abandoned, a much more aggressive nuclear posture against Russia, weapons sent to Ukraine, many sanctions on Russia, airstrikes on Russia's ally Syria, sanctions on Russia's ally Venezuela, the Iran deal shredded against urging from Moscow, NATO expansionism, and increased military activity at Russia's borders. These aggressions were all planned years in advance. Obama initiated them. The frighteningly anti-Russia hawk Hillary Clinton was scheduled to continue and expand them. And then when that fell through, the Russiagate contingency was rolled out to ensure the U.S. intelligence cartel would get its long-sought campaign to shove Russia off the world stage and thereby hamstring its ally, China. A dodgy intelligence assessment on 2016 Russian election meddling by a few operatives who were hand-selected by notorious Russophobe and known perjurer James Clapper, combined with a steady stream of bogus leaks like the notoriously false Steele dossier to form the foundation of Russiagate, and it all came from the same spy agencies whose agendas benefited from Russiagate. Here's one of those hand-selected flunkies. Catherine Herridge. Breaking! The primary subsource for the Steele dossier was deemed a possible national security threat, the subject of 2009 FBI counter-intel probe. According to new records, those facts were known to Crossfire Hurricane Team in December 2016. Then Kate comes back with, why were FBI agents talking about people scrambling for info to support certain things? At a time, U.S. intelligence officers were putting together their report on Russian election interference. Pretty sure conclusions are supposed to come after investigations. The question, who benefits from this, is essential for understanding the world, and if you ask it of Russiagate, there is one power structure which stands head and shoulders above everyone else. Yes, the mass media got a major ratings bump from Russiagate, which is why they played along with it. Yes, the Democratic Party got to neuter the progressive movement and distract from its 2016 scandals, which is why they played along with it. But in terms of actual changes that were implemented as a direct result of Russiagate, the ones who gained the most were the U.S. intelligence collective, whose pre-existing agendas were advanced by it. Not only were pre-existing agendas against Russia facilitated by Russiagate, but pre-existing agendas against the American left were facilitated as well. The burgeoning swell of progressive populism galvanized by the 2016 Sanders campaign would have made a lot of warmongers nervous, and the opaque government agencies which consistently ally themselves with status quo loyal plutocrats have a vested interest in protecting the class with which they are allied. The fact that all oxygen was sucked from the progressive movement into baseless Russia conspiracy theories served the same intelligence cartel which initiated Russiagate. In January of last year, a former assistant director for the FBI, the same FBI which wordlessly allowed the bogus Steele dossier to circulate despite knowing its intelligence had been compromised, admitted that his work with the FBI had included actively sabotaging leftist politicians in the United States to keep them out of government. This officer's entire FBI career took place after J. Edgar Hoover's death and after COINTELPRO had officially been ended. Andrew Lawrence tweet. Former FBI assistant director just said, "When I first got into the FBI, one of the missions of the FBI and its counterintelligence efforts was to try to keep progressives out of government." So that's two long-standing agendas of U.S. spy agencies that were advanced by Russiagate, a psychological operation which was launched by those same agencies. And that's all you really need to know about Russiagate, that it was started by the same spy agencies which directly benefited from it. Unless you were born yesterday, this will tell you that we've been conned. And now we're being told that the CIA director is forcefully obstructing transparency into the creation of that operation, even as the same Office of the Director of National Intelligence that James Clapper headed is promoting the narrative that Iran and China are seeking to influence the U.S. election for Biden, while Russia is seeking to influence it for Trump. I already covered this one by Kate. U.S. intelligence. If Trump wins, Russia did it. If Biden wins, it was China and Iran. Lastly, the dumbest thing about believing foreign nations are interfering in American democracy is believing America has any democracy to interfere with. This narrative that we are being primed for will enable these same spy agencies to sell the story that at least one of the governments they have targeted for sabotage can be accused of election interference regardless of who wins. And the most depressing thing about it is that they already know they'll be able to sell it successfully because nobody has learned anything over the last 4 years despite the transparent scam of Russiagate. Democrats will happily keep pushing Russia conspiracy theories if Trump wins, and Republicans will cheerfully push conspiracy theories about China and/or Iran after a Biden win. There's no reason to change strategies if it's been immensely successful. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Watch them.